Welcome back to Analyzing Trends. Today, we return once again to a subject shrouded in complexity and contradiction, Iran. The region remains in a state of persistent crisis, marked by deep uncertainty. At times, it feels as though we're caught in a cyclical pattern, each new development echoing the past, yet our collective memory seems short-lived. We continue to ask ourselves, why do we so often misinterpret the signals emanating from the Middle East? Is this a matter of strategic miscalculation, or does it point to a more fundamental flaw in the frameworks we rely on to interpret global crises? Consider the lead-up to the Iraq War in 2003, an episode defined by the now infamous search for weapons of mass destruction. That entire narrative was scaffolded by what was then described as the known unknown matrix, a belief that a structured mapping of what we knew and didn't know would offer security and strategic foresight. In hindsight, the limitations of that framework were stark. Today, with Iran, the landscape is even more convoluted. We are navigating a terrain shaped by digital narratives, generational trauma, diaspora mobilization, and a proliferation of identity-based discourses. All of these factors coalesce into a complex informational fog. The question, then, is this: are we witnessing history repeating itself, or are we confronting a blind spot that has yet to be fully acknowledged or understood? That is the inquiry at the center of today's discussion. And while I acknowledge I may be mistaken, it seems increasingly clear that our prevailing intelligence frameworks, the models we routinely depend upon, are not well equipped to grapple with the layered complexity of human culture, historical trauma, and perceptual nuance. They operate more like rigid satellite tracking systems attempting to follow a sandstorm, precision tools applied to inherently chaotic and shifting dynamics. In such environments, it's not what's static that matters most. It's the emergent patterns, the adaptive behaviors, the contradictions. So today, let's widen the frame. Let's challenge the assumptions embedded in our analytic models and consider what they may be filtering out. Let's start with a framework you may have seen before, the known unknown matrix. It's often used in government briefings and strategic planning sessions to organize what we know and what we don't into four categories: known knowns, known unknowns, unknown knowns, and unknown unknowns. At its core, it's a tool for managing risk. A known known is something we're confident about, like the fact that Iran has nuclear ambitions. A known unknown is something we know we don't have full information on, such as the exact status of Iran's uranium enrichment program. An unknown known is a little more complicated. It refers to things that are known by someone, somewhere in the system, but are not widely recognized. These might be facts that are classified, ignored, or simply forgotten. Insights that exist but haven't been acted on. Then there are the unknown unknowns. Factors we don't even realize we're missing. These might include surprise developments like secret alliances or sudden escalations that no one saw coming. While this model seems helpful at first glance, it oversimplifies complex realities. It puts information into neat boxes, but in doing so, it often leaves out the cultural and emotional context that shapes how people behave. And that, as we'll see, is a big part of the problem. The challenge with the known unknown matrix is that despite its utility, it remains largely abstract, conceptually neat, yet fundamentally detached from the lived complexities of culture and human interpretation. It frames intelligence in terms of informational voids, rather than examining how meaning is constructed from the information we do have. In doing so, it privileges action based on perceived risk over understanding rooted in cultural context. We saw this dynamic play out in Iraq. The absence of definitive evidence was reinterpreted as the presence of imminent threat. That wasn't merely a lapse in intelligence, it was a failure of imagination. To put it differently, relying solely on this matrix is akin to attempting to read a novel by scanning only the missing pages. You don't just lose facts, you lose narrative, intent, emotion. And without those, the story makes little sense. Now, this is where the conversation becomes particularly compelling, the Johari window. It predates the known-unknown matrix and comes from the field of psychology, originally developed to explore self-awareness and interpersonal dynamics. Yet, it offers a valuable lens for geopolitical analysis, especially when cultural perception and identity are at play. The model consists of four quadrants: open, hidden, blind, and unknown. The open quadrant refers to information known both to oneself and to others, such as the widely acknowledged international concern surrounding Iran's nuclear trajectory. The hidden quadrant encompasses information known internally but deliberately withheld, such as intra-government dissent or societal unrest that remains unspoken. The blind quadrant captures what others perceive, but the self does not. This might include the West's persistent misreading of Iranian cultural signals and symbolic expressions. And finally, the unknown quadrant consists of what is obscured to all parties: future developments, emergent behaviors, or latent dynamics not yet revealed. Unlike the known unknown matrix, which isolates informational gaps, the Johari window centers relational awareness, how knowledge is shared, concealed, distorted, or simply not yet formed. In contexts as fraught as Iran's, that distinction can be critical. What makes the Johari window especially valuable is that it shifts the focus from merely what we know to how we come to know it. It introduces dimensions often absent in strategic frameworks: perception, power, asymmetries, and communication gaps. Knowledge, in this model, is not a static repository of facts. It is relational, shaped by context, emotion, and the dynamics between observer and observed. This is particularly salient when analyzing Iran. Foundational narratives, martyrdom, sovereignty, the enduring legacy of colonial intrusion, occupy a kind of epistemic blind spot in much of Western intelligence analysis. These elements are not inaccessible or unknowable. Rather, they remain unacknowledged because our dominant analytic models tend to overlook the cultural and historical frameworks that give them meaning. In this way, the issue is not a lack of data, but a form of conceptual myopia, a narrowing of vision that filters out precisely the elements that are most crucial to understanding the situation in its full complexity. And importantly, this isn't merely a theoretical exercise. As explored in a previous episode on cultural intelligence, some of the most critical signals in a geopolitical context are those that go unnoticed, not because they are hidden, but because we are not attuned to perceive them. The Johari window offers a framework for recognizing that gap. It reminds us that intelligence is not solely about collection and analysis. It's about orientation, about cultivating the awareness to ask different questions, to see beyond the immediate, and to remain alert to meaning that emerges outside our expected fields of vision. So what if we reimagined the Johari window, expanded it, in a sense, to meet the complexity of the world we're trying to understand? Imagine integrating it with methods such as scenario planning, red teaming, and cultural semiotics. These are tools not only for identifying what is absent, but for interpreting what is significant. In this view, the unknown is not merely a void to be filled with data. It is a space shaped by emotion, culture, and power. It holds narratives, symbols, and latent tensions that conventional models often overlook. By broadening our analytical lenses, we begin to engage with uncertainty, not as a failure of knowledge, but as a terrain of meaning that requires cultural fluency and imaginative inquiry. In this expanded hybrid framework, the quadrants of the Johari window are no longer static. Information shifts through dialogue, confrontation, disclosure, or disruption. What was once hidden can become visible. What was assumed to be understood can suddenly appear unfamiliar. Crucially, this model allows for the layering of multiple perspectives: the Iranian state, youth protesters, diaspora communities, Western diplomats. Each operates with its own version of the Johari window, its own visibility, its own blind spots, its own contested truths. Within and across these windows, we can also trace enduring cultural archetypes: martyrdom, resistance, shame, honor. These are not simply abstract ideas, they are meaning systems that structure perception and motivate behavior. By attending to them, we gain access to a deeper, often neglected layer of strategic insight, one that conventional frameworks struggle to capture. The fundamental shift in this approach is a reorientation of the core question. Rather than asking, how do we reduce uncertainty, we begin to ask, whose unknowns are we privileging? What power structures obscure certain truths? Which cultural narratives are influencing our field of vision? It's a move away from simply filling informational gaps toward interpreting the meaning within and around them. This approach acknowledges that knowledge is not neutral. It is shaped by perspective, ideology, and access. In that sense, this methodology embraces complexity. It values improvisation over rigid order. It requires a sensitivity to rhythm, dissonance, and resonance. It's less like a metronome marking time and more like a dynamic composition, responsive, interpretive, alive. It's important not to lose sight of the lessons from Iraq. The failure surrounding weapons of mass destruction was not simply the result of missing intelligence. It was the consequence of a flawed analytic framework. The emphasis was placed on what data was absent rather than on the narratives, symbols, and emotional undercurrents that were clearly present. What was overlooked was not just information, but context. The cultural and psychological landscape, the historical traumas, the collective memories, the performative aspects of power, were all there, yet remained unexamined. In privileging technical certainty over interpretive understanding, the framework collapsed under the weight of its own blind spots. Today, with Iran, we risk repeating the same analytical missteps. If we disregard the symbolic terrain, martyrdom, historical memory, the internal multiplicity of voices and identities, we become strategically blind. Consider martyrdom. If it is viewed solely through the lens of religious zeal, we miss its deeper resonances, its nationalist significance, its historical continuity, its emotional weight within both state narratives and personal identity. These are not peripheral considerations. They are central to understanding motivation, behavior, and legitimacy. This is not simply a question of acquiring more data. It is a matter of interpretation. As we discussed in our episode on Bayesian reasoning, meaningful analysis requires more than collecting new evidence. It demands that we genuinely update our beliefs in light of that evidence, rather than forcing unfamiliar signals into pre-existing categories. Otherwise, we're not learning. We're reinforcing our own blind spots. I may be misattributing the quote, perhaps to Einstein, but the sentiment remains relevant. We cannot solve problems with the same kind of thinking that created them. Regardless of its origin, the principle holds. When confronting complex layered geopolitical challenges, relying on the same analytical paradigms that have consistently fallen short is not just insufficient, it's counterproductive. New understanding requires new thinking. So where does that leave us? Perhaps it's time to move beyond the notion of intelligence as the mere act of filling informational voids. Instead, we should begin to view it as a form of cultural engagement, an interpretive practice rooted in context, empathy, and dialogue. Intelligence is not solely about the extraction of facts. At its most effective, it fosters shared understanding. It becomes a means of insight rather than an instrument of surveillance. And that distinction is not just semantic, it's strategic. Here's a challenge to consider: identify one dominant narrative surrounding the Iran crisis. Then ask, Where does it truly belong within the Johari window? Is it part of the open quadrant, widely acknowledged and understood? Is it hidden, deliberately withheld, blind, visible to others, but not to us? Or does it fall into the unknown, yet to fully emerge? And more importantly, what might you, or we, collectively, be blind to? That question is where the real work begins. That's all for today on Analyzing Trends. Next time, we'll continue exploring the narratives and models that shape how we interpret the world around us. Until then, keep asking better questions. And more importantly, look hard at the blind spots. That's where the real insight lives. See you next time.